From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? TGIF. Yes, thank God it's Friday. It is here, folks. We have a fantastic edition of Current Sports to close out the week. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. On today's Current Sports, we will feature a very cool individual. He's been a longtime Lansing Quaker sports fan for quite some time. Andrew Hayes is going to preview him. You do not want to miss that. We'll also chat with the director of the MSU women's cross country team, yes, Walt Drenth. And folks, if you haven't been paying attention to the women's cross country team at Michigan State, they are numero uno. Yes, they have the number one ranking in all of the nation. The first time that's happened in this program's history. We'll then talk high school sports with MLive.com high school sports writer Mike Cohan to preview the final week of the regular season in high school football. All of that and so much more, but as custom here on Current Sports, before we dive into all of that action, here is Troy with your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this October 24th.
I'm Troy Jefferson, and these are your quick hit headliners for Friday, October 24th. In high school soccer, East Lansing and Mason Soccer both got wins. East Lansing's Daywan Jones chipped in the game-winning goal with 54.4 seconds remaining to give the number 4-ranked Trojans a 1-0 victory over the number 3 Spring Lake Lakers. Number 1-ranked Mason won a 3-2 thriller against Holland Christian. Michigan Athletic Director Dave Brandon announced yesterday prices for football season tickets will drop almost 40% in 2015. Tickets for the 7 home games will be $175 as opposed to the 2014 price of $280. 2015 slate features home games against Michigan State and Ohio State. Moving on to basketball, according to MSU Athletic Director Paul Shager, Tom Izzo will be getting a little help tonight from former Detroit Lions head coach Steve Mariucci with his annual Midnight Madness entrance. We're getting a little help from Tom's friend Steve Mariucci this year to introduce him, so we'll have a lot of fun this year, Shager said. Doors open at 8:30 p.m. at the Breslin Center. Formal event will kick off at 9:30 p.m. The Red Wings picked up an overtime victory yesterday, winning in spectacular fashion last night as they defeated the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-3 in overtime. The Wings were down by 2 with less than 3 minutes to play when they pulled goalie Jimmy Howard. Henrik Zetterberg scored shortly after Howard was pulled, and Nicholas Cronwall found the back of the net for the second time in the game to send the game to OT. Justin Abdelkader scored with 44 seconds left in the extra frame to seal the victory for Detroit. The Wings play again on Saturday in Philadelphia. Puck drop is scheduled for 7 p.m. The Detroit Pistons close out their preseason with a victory against the Philadelphia 76ers last night, 109-103. It was a balanced attack for the Pistons, who had 6 players finish in double figures. Kyle Singler led the way with 19 points. Detroit opens the regular season Wednesday night in Denver against the Nuggets at 9 p.m. Detroit Tigers first baseman Miguel Cabrera underwent successful right ankle surgery to remove bone spurs and to repair a stress fracture Wednesday afternoon. Cabrera battled the injury throughout last season. The University of North Carolina is under an NCAA investigation following allegations that more than 3,100 students were steered to easy, quote-unquote, paper classes. According to reports, around 1,500 student-athletes were involved. This allegedly occurred between 1993 and 2011. Those are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you can call in at 517-355-9527 and share what's on your mind. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet at my pal Al at AlMartinWKR.
Right, thanks a lot, Troy. Yes, I am your pal, Al. Tweet at me at AlMartinWKAR, or you can go to our official Current Sports Twitter page of WKAR_sports and tweet us there. I'll read your comments on that, and of course at facebook.com/currentsports. Thanks a lot, Troy. And that number once again, as Troy just ran down, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We will be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. Folks, we have a packed show in store for you today. Later on in the show, we'll be wrapping up the high school football year. Yes, I can't believe that this is the last Friday of the high school football regular season. It all culminates tonight as many high schools throughout the area of Mid-Michigan will be competing to try and get that fifth win to make them playoff eligible. Many teams will be fighting for their lives in that regard. We'll talk with MLive high school sports reporter Mike Cohan about what to expect tonight, the big games, his player of the years, his coach of the years, all of that stuff, and so much more. You don't want to miss that. We'll also talk about the rivalry matchup between Michigan State and Michigan, as yes, it's finally almost here, folks. We're a day away. I can't believe it. Saturday at 3:30 p.m. It seems like this week has just flown by. All week we've been talking about it and taking your calls on it. Many of you giving your thoughts and predictions on who is going to come away with the Paul Bunyan Trophy this year. We'll wrap it up, give you a game breakdown of that. We'll talk Lions and Falcons as well, as the Lions, of course, are in London taking on the Falcons. That's going to be a very, very early start for many of you. A 9:30 a.m. game on Sunday. So don't party too hard on Saturday, depending on what squad you're rooting for. Michigan State or Michigan, you know, get up early, watch the Lions. And if you're on the West Coast, though, my goodness, you got to wake up at before 6. I believe it's going to be a 6 a.m. game, 6:30 a.m. game if you're on the West Coast. So, my goodness, a brutal start to your morning for that one. But, hey, you got to love football, though. I'll get up at 5 a.m. if I have to, okay? But we'll talk about all of that and so much more, folks. It's going to be a very stacked show, though, a very, very stacked show. Not many people know, that the MSU women's cross country team has been ripping it up. Yes, other than the MSU football team, which has been getting much of the attention because of college football. College football runs the world, okay, when you talk about college athletics. You can argue that college basketball does the same, but man, oh man, there is nothing like college football. And we sometimes forget about the other sports, but you cannot forget about the MSU women's cross country team because they have been rolling the first time in program history that they are ranked number one. So you're going to get to hear from the director of the MSU women's cross country team, Walt Drenth, and get his take on what this ranking means to his program, and also moving forward, what improvements and tweaks need to be made on the heels of the Big Ten Championship, which will be taking place at the beginning of November. And how about Midnight Madness, folks? Yes, Tom Izzo, I tell you what, we always try to guess it each and every year. What new idea comes to mind as to what Tom will be doing as his introduction to the crowd at the Breslin Center. He's done so many things, folks, from, of course, being shot out of a cannon last year. I was there for that one, actually filmed that one. We highlighted it on Current Sports TV that week. My goodness, that was pretty cool. But it turned out the Tom Izzo was not in the cannon. It happened to be in a stunt double posing as Tom Izzo. It was a female. She had on a helmet and just got, you know, lifted from the cannon and made a safe landing. It was pretty cool stuff. And, you know, Tom has done everything from, you know, riding in on a motorcycle to coming in on a race car. Coming in on a model fighter jet. He's also been dressed as an astronaut, Iron Man, you name it. He's just about tried it. So who knows what Tom is going to pull out his hat tonight. It's going to be an exciting time, though, as the doors open around 8:30 p.m. at the Breslin Center as we get ready for Spartan basketball. I can't believe the basketball season is right around the corner, folks. Media Day will be taking place next week for the MSU men's team on Tuesday, and the MSU women's basketball team will be later on in the week, folks. And I have an exciting announcement to make for you all. I know many of you have been, you know, asking about ticket giveaways. Al, are you giving away tickets this year, so on and so forth? I am pleased to announce that we will be giving away a pair of tickets for each and every MSU men's basketball home game and each and every MSU women's basketball home game, okay? So you want to stay tuned, keep it locked to Current Sports each and every day to figure out how you can win those tickets and, you know, attend a few MSU men's and women's basketball games. So you don't want to miss that. And also Current Sports TV, folks, if you happen to miss it last night, I sat down with one of the most intriguing individuals and inspirational individuals I've ever come across in my life and my career so far. I gotta say, Ronald Mann, MMA fighter and amputee, he was off the chain last night, folks. If you missed that sit down, you can simply go to video.wkar.org to check that out right now. We have each and every episode that we've done in Current Sports TV history. And I want to remind you all that, you know, next week we'll be back at it like each and every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. I'll be sitting down with Lansing State Journal sports columnist Graham Couch to dive into MSU basketball and give us a preview on that. to sort of talk about, you know, and ranked and sort of put a bow on the MSU football season so far, moving forward, and so much more. So, Graham Couch, if you want to get a chance to meet Graham and to be a part of the live studio audience for that episode, simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. So, exciting stuff, though, folks. But before I get to all of that, we have a pretty cool feature that I want to highlight and start the show with today. Now, we know that, you know, and I've known that, you know, covering high school sports throughout this area, I have come across some of the most diehard fans. I mean, I love covering mid-Michigan high school sports more so, you know, arguably than any other, you know, beat that I've been on. It's unbelievable stuff. Going out to the Friday night high school football games each and every Friday night and seeing the stands packed, seeing the enthusiasm and just the energy from the players and the fans. I mean, it is unbelievable. And me growing up in Detroit, you know, Detroit's a pretty big city. But I tell you what, high school sports in the area of mid-Michigan compared to Detroit, man, Detroit cannot hold a candle to mid-Michigan, okay? I mean, it's an unbelievable experience. And once in a while, you come across fans who are just totally diehard, who live, eat, and breathe their high school sports. And we want to highlight one of those individuals today because he's been doing it for quite some time. Now, his name is Claude Donahue. Now, he only spent 3 years as a student at Lansing Eastern High School, but he has spent seven decades, folks, since supporting their sports. The 1942 grad started going to games with his wife in 1948 and has tried to attend every sporting event since. Now, Donahue took time to sit down with Current Sports high school beat reporter Andrew Hayes to talk about his experience as a longtime Quaker fan.
My wife and I started in 1948 going steady to the games. We got married in 1945. And in 1948, we went up to Saginaw. Eastern was opening the season with Saginaw Arthur Hill. And I had an uncle up there, so we drove up there and I went and visited him and he showed us how to get to the stadium, the new stadium they built. And we went to the game and it was 75 degrees, I remember, at game time that night in September. Wow. And we've been going ever since.
What keeps you coming back?
I just love sports and I love my school. In fact, in 2007, I broke my neck. And that afternoon, I thought I'd just sprained it. We went up to Eastern and watched the baseball game, a doubleheader. And the next morning, I got up and my neck was so sore, I said, I better go have it checked. So we went up to emergency, and they put me in this big machine, and the guy comes out and says, your neck is broke. And here I had sat at that game all afternoon with a broken neck.
How long do you think you're going to do this? How long do you think?
As long as I'm able. In fact, I'm going to the game tomorrow night. I got to tell you this. We were coming back from Cupid's and we went out to get a sandwich. And we were coming back by the school and there was one of the players standing out in front of the school with his uniform over his shoulder. He had missed the bus. And we pulled up and my wife said, did you miss the bus? And he didn't know what to say. He said, yeah, I missed the bus. She said, well, get in. We're going up. So we gave him a ride up there. We got there right the halftime of the JV game. Paul Cook made him set out that first quarter of the game. He was one of their top players, too, one of the Woods boys. And he didn't know our name, and Paul asked him who brought him up, and he said, some old fans of ours. And I said, seeing Paul the following week at the game, and I told him, I said, we brought him up. And he said, oh, you're the ones that brought him up. I said, yeah, we brought him up. Gave him a ride up to the game. Yeah, I won't forget that. He was so thankful to get in that car. So I'm just happy to have been in good health and be able to back him this many years.
Yeah, that's really cool stuff. Again, that is Claude Donahue. He has been attending Lansing Eastern High School sporting events with his wife since 1948. My goodness, that's a long time. I now have Andrew Hayes, our fantastic Current Sports High School beat reporter, who actually found this story. First off, Andrew, how in the world did you find this story?
I went to Lansing Eastern's homecoming game, and they honored Mr. Donahue on the field for being, you know, just such a passionate fan for this long. And gave him a call and asked him if he wanted to sit down and talk about being an Eastern sports fan. And just an unbelievable experience talking to that guy. I mean, just...
I can only imagine, you know, just listening to him talk. I mean, you said that they honored him, you know, at the homecoming game. So he has certainly become sort of a staple in the Lansing Quaker community. I mean, what was it like sitting down with him? I mean, and he's 91 years old, right? And
right.
He's got a, you know, like he said, a full bill of health, and he's been attending these games, you know, since the 40s. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. You know, I heard Lansing Eastern grad of 1942, and I was thinking this can go any number of directions.
Mm-hmm.
But I showed up to his house. He still lives on his own. He still golfs. He still goes to as many Quaker games as he possibly can. But it was overwhelming almost, just how much he's seen and experienced. At one point, I just said to him, you know, the interview went on for about over half an hour. Because
right, that was just a little snippet of it.
Right, exactly. I just asked him, you know, what have you seen in sports? What, just tell me about your experience as a sports fan. He told me in 1941 he went to his first Major League Baseball game between the Tigers and the Yankees.
Yeah.
He saw Joe DiMaggio and Hank Greenberg play that day. And when he dropped DiMaggio, I was
wow.
like, yeah, this guy is – he's a walking encyclopedia. He – like, I – Joe DiMaggio is a legendary name in my mind. Like, he's barely even a real person.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know that many people that have seen him in real life.
Exactly. And, you know, going back to the days of Hank Greenberg, too, I mean, he's such a staple in the Detroit Tigers community. I mean, it's unbelievable, Andrew.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how did he become such a diehard Lansing Quaker fan, though? Because, you know, he only attended, for 3 years as a student?
Right.
And then, you know, 7 decades later, he's still going to these games. I mean, what attracted him to the Quaker community?
Like he said, he just loves his school. And he loves Lansing Eastern sports. And I think that's an awesome, awesome thing to see, because that's one thing that gets overlooked a lot in high school sports is how important keeping around your alumni is and how important it is to breed that family and welcome back and always identifying with your high school. I think that's really important, and it's awesome to see that it can last for almost 70 years. It's a remarkable thing.
Certainly. Now, again, you sat down with him, I mean, for a long, long time. We only played 2 minutes of it, but just a little snippet of it. But, I mean, when talking with Claude, I mean, what else did really stuck out in your mind about him?
He was just exactly what I wanted in somebody to interview. And it sounds like I'm kind of, you know, mushing over this guy, but... It really was just outstanding to see him. You know, he's still there with all the problems surrounding Eastern. And
yeah, because the football program, I mean, has not been a winning football program in quite some time. They got their first win in, I don't know how many years.
Yeah, two years.
Yeah, against Jackson, yeah. I know, a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, so just to see him. And, you know, I asked him when he said he's going to the game out at Okemos, I said, you know, how do you think they're going to do? And he said right away, they'll probably get beat. So that's what makes it even more awesome to me, is even with this kind of downturn and less than successful sports, because it's easy to stick in it for a team that's winning all the time. But for him to just love that team because it's his team, I think is remarkable. And one of the coolest parts of sitting down and talking to him, it was never, you know, I like it because we win, I like it because whatever. It was, I like it because that's my school, and I love remaining involved with them.
That's great stuff. Records don't matter when you love your team as
exactly.
much as that, right? Gotta love that, folks. Again, that is Claude Donahue, a longtime Lansing Eastern Quaker fan of sports, and it's unbelievable. You know, when they gave him the honor that you talked about, what type of accolade did he get?
They had him down on the field. I can't remember. I think it was kind of just
recognition, basically.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
They actually, initially, when I went to do the interview, I thought they had announced at the game that he was a baseball coach for 30-something years there, mm-hmm. which was wrong. He's never coached a day of baseball in his life, as far as I know.
Right,
so,
right.
But, yeah, he was a right-handed pitcher for Lansing Eastern Baseball back in the day when he was there. And, yeah, it was, I mean, I'm starting to think of more stuff that he told me just right now, like when he went and saw Jeter play at 16. He followed John Smoltz pretty closely because Smoltz, you know, played around here.
Yeah.
So just stuff like that. It's really just incredible. And yeah, and really I give a lot of props to Lansing Eastern for staying, you know, up to speed with him and recognizing what an outstanding, you know, example this is.
Right, exactly.
In their alumni circle. So
yeah, this is truly a story that I tell you what, and again, I go on record to say it again. I mean, the high school sports in this area of Michigan is unlike any other area I've covered. I tell you what, Claude Donahue, hey, hats off to you, my friend. It was definitely a pleasure. And Andrew, thanks a lot for bringing that story to us. That's great stuff.
Happy to do it.
All right, folks. Well, let's transition now. Now, no, the MSU football team isn't the only one receiving national nods, folks. Michigan State also has a pretty good women's cross-country squad. Now, MSU Director of Cross-Country and Track and Field, Walt Drenth, was last season's Big Ten Women's Cross Country Coach of the Year. Now, the coach and his runners have won many honors during Drenth's tenure with the Big Ten, MAC, and Pac-12 conferences. Now, the Spartans women's cross country team has brought new national accolades to MSU. They are ranked numero uno, number one, in the NCAA Division I Cross Country National Coaches Poll for the first time in program history. How about that? Now, I reached Walt by phone. He told me that he took the announcement of MSU women's number one national ranking totally in stride.
I mean, it's pretty cool. You can kind of see it coming through the course of the year, and I figured if we ran well, there was a chance this would happen. But I mean, honestly, don't give it a lot of thought. It's a great acknowledgement of the kids' work and how they've done this fall, but it's not. It doesn't mean anything at the end. We just got to get better. That's what we're working on now.
Now, Walt, just from reading your demeanor here, I mean, you just said it. I mean, it's a shock, but it's not. I mean, you kind of saw it coming. What signs alluded to this program getting to this point and being what it is today?
Well, we've got a great group of leaders. I think anytime you have a program that's one of the nation's elite, you got a group of upperclassmen, not necessarily just upperclassmen, but a group of kids on the team that really understand their responsibility to the whole process. You know, what they do at practice is only a glimpse of what it takes to be good, consistently and be good at this level. So I think our leadership has been phenomenal. We've made good progress through the course of their career. This is a special group of kids since they've come to campus. Their expectations of themselves and each other has always been very high, and they've backed it up with behavior. They've been able to, stay consistent in who they are and what they believe. And they've gotten better every year. Last year we finished sixth at the Nationals, and we add a couple of pretty good people back into the mix that were redshirted last year. And, we've seen development out of everyone. So there was reason to believe that we were going to be pretty good before the season started. And this is, this is sort of indicative of what we thought was going to happen just in terms of our competitiveness. We don't spend a lot of time thinking about the other teams, and there's certainly some exceptional teams nationally that will have a final say in how the whole thing comes down. But you asked me, what sort of things I saw. I saw a lot of things, the leadership piece, the work, the consistency, and then even last spring, there were a lot of women on the team that got better, made the first round of the Nationals or made the final. So you start to see things. Our sport is pretty, it's pretty objective. You start to look at the stopwatch and you can figure out how fast people are running. And our profile was pretty good for a competitive team.
And, talking about that leadership, I mean, that's one of the biggest components of why this program is where it is right now, Walt. Can you expand on what runners specifically have stepped up as leaders and are really, being those motivators for the team?
I'd have to say the entire fifth-year senior class has been elite, been leaders. Mm-hmm. They all have different roles, and they've all matured immensely since they've come here. So I don't know. I mean, you could clearly look at Leah O'Connor or Sarah Quell because they or Julia Otwell, but there's also Melanie Brender and Emma Drenth and. Every kid that's been in, stayed part of the program in that 5-year group has really taken a role of leadership and, and taking kind of the responsibility of what they thought they could achieve pretty seriously. So it's been really cool to watch that maturation and sort of their ownership in the whole thing.
Walt Drent, director of the MSU women's cross country team. Now, Walt, for you, when looking at the rankings, not to harp on it too much here, but when looking at the rankings, I mean, how much stock do you guys really put on it? I mean, yeah, again, you are ranked number one in the entire nation. That's great, especially from a national point of view and attention-wise as well. But how much stock do you and your coaching staff and runners put into that?
I mean, we haven't talked about it.
Not at all.
Really not much. The kids may have. You'd have to ask them, but I told them on Monday, I said, there's a good chance you're going to wake up and be number one ranked team in the country tomorrow. And we kind of laugh about it, and they're like, oh, sweet. And, that was sort of it. We've kind of moved on. We have, you've got to prove it, and the rankings don't have an influence on whether we make the postseason or anything else. So we've just, we've gone back to kind of looking at what we did when we were at Wisconsin in that meet and how we can be better and what we'll do differently, what we learned. And sort of dissecting things in that manner, and then we're just back to training. I can't really change the formula now, and it's a pretty uncomplex group of people in terms of they don't get in their own way, and they just like the sport, they like each other, and they like to compete. So they've made it easy on us.
Now, Walt, I know there are many programs in this nation that if they were ranked the number one women's cross country team, I mean, they were probably losing their minds without a doubt. Now, for you guys, though, you talk about that you guys have really not talked about it amongst yourselves. What sort of has fueled that? Okay, yeah, that's all fine and dandy, but we're still not satisfied. What kind of fuels that attitude for this squad?
They were pretty good high school runners. They weren't kids with amazing accolades, and I think that they understand the importance of earning their stripes. This is, the end of the year is still, really 6 weeks away, 5 weeks away, in terms of our national championship. And we've got, some pretty big fish to fry over the next couple of meets. We've got our, Big Ten championship coming up a week from Sunday. And Michigan was ranked number one in the country the better part of the year. So we expect that to be a very competitive meet. We won't take anything for granted there, that's for sure, because they're really good. They're still ranked fourth, and I think that the difference in the top six teams in the country is really going to be, flip the coin and see who's hot, who runs well and who just comes through at the final meet. Mm-hmm. And then we've got a regional championship, which is, good preparation, sort of built momentum builder for the final. So we've got enough to do, and there are enough tests ahead of us that nobody thinks that this is the culminating point of the season, that's for sure.
Well, again, folks, if you're just now joining us, we're talking with the director of the MSU women's cross-country team, Walt Drent. Now, Walt, to take a different tone here, I want to just talk about the essence of running now, because, there are many runners in the East Lansing area, especially, I was, just driving around, going to work, coming back from work, and even on the weekends, driving around the Lansing area, I always saw at least probably, 10 to 15 people on their daily runs. It's certainly a running community, to say the least. For those out there that are contemplating getting into running and starting that daily running lifestyle, first off, I got to ask you, Walt, do you still run yourself?
In a matter of speaking, I don't go fast enough to call it running anymore, but I go out there and plug away.
Gotcha. So you still run on a daily basis?
Yep, try to. I try to exercise every day.
If you could give advice for those out there listening to this show, what would you give to them as far as starting a running lifestyle? And what is the lifestyle of a runner?
I think it varies from person to person. Everybody's objectives are different. Some of them, it's just personal health. Some of it's, some sort of exploration. Some people just want to, find out how fast they can run. My recommendation would be to start with some good equipment. Make sure that you have a pair of shoes that work for you, and make sure that they're going to last you a while, and turn the shoes over. I don't think you can wear a pair of shoes for a year and expect to feel very good after. I mean, probably every 3 months or so, you're probably going to need to look into a different pair.
Months, that soon?
Yeah. It depends upon how much they run, but if you're in your shoes every day, you're running or walking shoes, they tend to to wear out, and it may not even feel it until you put a new pair on, and all of a sudden, you know, your knees and hips and everything. It's like, oh wow, I really needed those shoes sooner than I thought.
Right.
I'd say join a running group. I think that finding a local running club, you know, I mean, Playmakers does a wonderful job of getting people together, their like abilities, and you know, having people to train with. I think if you learn to run by yourself, you know, some of us like the solitude of it. I'd probably fall into that camp. But most people, I think, would be better off if they had a group to run with, because it gets them out the door when they don't feel like it. And it, you know, it also turns into kind of a social thing, which if you go to a road race, you'd see that there's a lot of camaraderie there, and that's kind of a cool thing. And it's not for everyone. I mean, you know, I think an active lifestyle is for everyone, but it doesn't necessarily mean everybody's up for running. I've got plenty of friends that are sturdy people, and they're not really built to run, you know, and that doesn't mean that they can't get out the door and do something else, whether it be bike or walk or do something, and they choose to do that. So I don't think that running is the only answer. I think that you can swim, or you can, you know, like I said, you can bike or take a class, a yoga class or something. But you know, I'm a strong advocate of getting out and doing some sort of exercise as often as possible.
Well, there you have it. Walt Drenth, director of the number one ranked women's cross country team in the nation. Walt, thanks a lot for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for your time. All right.
All right, again, that is Walt Drenth, the director of the MSU women's cross country team. Again, folks, they are numero uno, ranked number one in the entire nation. Very admirable stuff. The first time that's happened in program history. I just find it so funny how, you know, Walt, you know, typical coach speak. He's just like, hey, yeah, we don't harp on it too much. We barely even talked about it. Gotta love that. Thanks a lot, Walt, for taking some time to join me on the show. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk about the last week of regular season high school football with MLive.com high school sports reporter Mike Cohan. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Of course, I want to remind you all that, hey, if you missed Current Sports TV last night, as I sat down and chatted with one of the most inspirational dudes I've ever met, his name is Ronald Mann, folks. He's an MMA amputee fighter. It was a fantastic time with him last night. If you missed it, just simply go to video.wkr.org to check that out. But hey, it is Friday, and in about 6 hours or so, Friday Night Lights will be flickering around the area of Mid-Michigan, as this will be the final night for regular season high school football. I can't believe that week has already come. And of course, a dear friend of the show, Mike Cohan of MLive.com, high school sports reporter, now joins us to sort of culminate all of the action and preview all the action that will be taking place tonight. Mike, how you doing, my man?
Doing well, Al.
Thanks a lot for joining me today. So first off, Mike, can you believe that it's, you know, week nine already? My goodness.
Yeah, the season seems to fly by. Every year when week one comes around, I'm like, man, it's high school football season. Here we go. We have, you know, all the way up to the state finals. And then week nine comes around, and wow, we're here already.
Exactly. Yes, we are. Now, for you, I mean, you'll be out, you know, out in the trenches covering a game tonight. What are some of the big games to look for tonight? There are a few teams out there fighting for their playoff lives, needing that one win to make them eligible.
Yeah, I'll be at Grand Ledge tonight. The Comets sitting at 5-3. You know, they've had a good season. They've quietly had a good season. You know, they got beat by Sexton in a game where they came back late and made it a game, but then eventually lost. And then they also lost to Everett, which, you know, last week played pretty well, actually very well against Lansing Sexton. Grand Ledge should win this game, but Holt, they have talent. I mean, this is a team at 3-5 that I think is better than its record suggests. It's played some very difficult opponents, very tough opponents. Mm-hmm. And I think Grand Ledge will win. But if Holt wins, you know, that puts Grand Ledge to 5-4. And I'm not certain they'll make the playoffs. I think it's almost a coin toss at that point. You know, almost 50-50. They'll probably need some help, but with, you know, losses to Sexton and Everett, both of whom are still playing for a spot in the playoffs, and Holland West Ottawa, which is hovering, you know, right around 500, a little bit, I think they're one game above, two games above, excuse me. But, you know, they may have enough playoff points to make that happen.
Definitely. Now, in some other two other games here that I'm looking at, St. John's versus Goodrich and Lansing Catholic versus Monroe St. Mary Catholic. Those are also two big games. First off, start with St. John's and Goodrich. What can folks expect from that matchup?
I think St. John's will win this one. Both teams are 7-1. They're both doing really well. Goodrich, if you take a look at who they played, they really have not played very many good teams. Their one loss was to Flint Beecher, which is undefeated and having a very strong season. Mm-hmm. You know, at the same time, St. John's has one loss, obviously, to undefeated DeWitt. But if you go inside the numbers with Goodrich, they just haven't played as strong competition in their wins. I think St. John's will win this game. And you know me. I try to be as fair about this as possible, but
right.
I'm not going to go against the local team if everything's going forward in this. And I think in St. John's case, definitely it does.
Yeah, St. John's. I remember covering them at the beginning of the year when they matched up against East Lansing at home. And I tell you what, they have just a nonstop rushing attack where they can throw about three or four guys at you. That should be an intriguing game, Mike. Now, you know, looking at Lansing Catholic and Monroe St. Mary's Catholic, both of these teams are undefeated, right?
Yeah, Monroe St. Mary, if you pay attention to high school football at all and have done so for the last 20 years, you know this team. Or this program, at least. Mm-hmm. This is one of the best programs in the entire state year after year. And Lansing Catholic, it's going to have its hands full. St. Mary plays a tough schedule. I mean, they're going to come in with a lot of experience against really good teams. And I think it will win. Lansing Catholic has played very well up to this point. A loss, obviously, isn't devastating to them. They still make the playoffs. They by all means, can still win a state championship. But I just think St. Mary has a stronger team based on what I've seen. And the stat that really jumped out at me when I looked at this, Lansing Catholic has scored 34 points or more in almost all of its games this season. St. Mary's allowed 34 points this season. Entire season.
Really? The entire year?
The entire season.
Oh, boy.
That's some serious defense. You know, last week we talked about Tony Poljan and Tony Palmer. You know, they're both juniors, and they are extremely talented. But, man, when a team has a defense like that, you have to rise up to a level that it's tough to get to.
That is very tough, yeah.
If they were seniors, I might say, you know, Catholic has a fighter's chance in this. But, man, it's so hard when you're playing a team that's done that well as far.
Now, Mike, looking at the entire spectrum here, are there any other teams that are just on that verge of making the playoffs and desperately need a great showing tonight?
Yeah, I think another good game to go to if you're looking for two teams that really need something, Eaton Rapids and Charlotte. Eaton Rapids, if with a win, they move to 6-3 they're in. Charlotte at 4-4, if they get a win, obviously that puts them in that playoff point territory. Mm-hmm. The problem for them, though, their wins are not very strong. I don't think they'd be in a team above 500 this season. So they probably don't have enough playoff points. If anything, Eaton Rapids can win and get in. Charlotte with a win, I don't think either one of those teams get in based on playoff points.
Gotcha. All right, Mike. Well, now, again, this is week 9, the final regular season week in high school football. I got to ask you, when looking, you know, back and sort of reflecting on this season thus far, I mean, do you have a player or players of the year?
That's tough. I would probably have to say Avante Bell. He's just been the workhorse for Lansing Sexton, and he's done incredibly well. Either him or Lane Porter. And Lane obviously left last week's game.
And he won't be playing tonight, right?
Yeah. Apparently he won't be playing tonight either. He really is a big part of that team. I was thoroughly impressed with him last week when I saw him. I would say between those two, you know, I'd probably say Porter. He's just a large part of that team. Bell is incredibly talented, and you know, Jacob Johnson up in DeWitt has done really well, but he's you know, he's been injured. He's missed a couple of games, and so you know, there's that question of, you know, what if he would have played those other games?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think I'd go with Lane Porter then.
Yeah, definitely Lane, and yeah, looking at the highlights of that game, and he actually took a big shot after he threw the interception to end that game. Lansing Sexton put it in the bags to win that one, but yeah, definitely wish him well though, as he'll be sitting out, of course, for tonight's Lansing Everett game. All right, what about Coach of the Year? That's
Man.
Tough. That's a tough.
Yeah, one. That's a real tough one. I probably have to go with Rob Zimmerman up in DeWitt. His team has had a couple injuries again with Jacob Johnson, the Central Michigan commit, and they just put players in there to fill in who are prepared and go out and do a fantastic job. Rob Zimmerman is, you know, he's been a great coach around here for a very long time, and he's able to get a lot out of kids who are very talented to begin with, but then he just gets a little bit more than I think most other coaches would.
Yeah, Rob is certainly, each and every year you can expect DeWitt to have a very, very good team.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, well, you know, to get away from high school sports really briefly here, again, well, first off, what game, you'll be at Grand Ledge tonight, right?
Yeah, I'll be out at Grand Ledge, and my prediction for that, when I picked Grand Ledge to win 29-21, they're just a stronger team at this point, I think.
Gotcha. And when can people expect your recap of that game?
Oh, I'll get my stories on around 11:30 or midnight, but since I live right down the street from Grand Ledge High School.
right. 5-minute drive.
Yeah, it's hardly even that. I mean, if I ran, I could get home in about 5 minutes. I don't know. Maybe not these days. Maybe when I was 23.
Right.
yeah, probably around like 11:30.
Okay,
I can probably crank that out.
Definitely check that out, folks. He does some outstanding work. Okay, Michigan and Michigan State. I mean, that's the big rivalry game that everyone seems to be talking about tomorrow, 3:30 p.m. at Spartan Stadium. What do you think is going to happen in that one, Mike?
I think it's going to be all Michigan State.
All Michigan State.
Anybody who thinks that Michigan is going to come in and have anywhere near a chance, they're delusional.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan, I've seen them play quite a bit this year. I'll switch between the games when I'm at home. Michigan just doesn't look like a team that can win a game like this.
Right.
It's not a team that lacks talent, but they don't look like they're organized, or there's something about that team that just isn't clicking right now. And I don't know how much of it is Brady Hoke. Obviously, he's been much maligned this season. I don't know how much of it is the people behind him or some of the kerfuffle going on around the team.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just an air of mediocrity there that I haven't seen for quite a while, and if I was a Michigan fan, I would be really unhappy about.
And justly so. I mean, if you look at just the feedback and looking at the student protest on campus, I mean, yeah, there are many Michigan fans that are feeling that same way, Mike, and they are very upset. But yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, with it being a rivalry game, I mean, yeah, I think both of these clubs are going to approach this game, you know, with their ears up. I think it'll be close up until halftime, but after that, MSU rolls in that one. If you could give a score prediction, what would it be, Mike?
35-17.
That's really close to mine.
Most of the 17 is going to be like junk time.
Gotcha. Okay. Downtime. You know, when the game is out of reach, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to mince words. I think it's going to be a bad game to watch in the second half because Michigan State will be so far ahead, it won't really even matter.
Well, there you have that, folks. If you want to give a game prediction, and we have about 15 minutes left in the show, 517-355-9527. And you know what, Mike, before we let you go, you have an interesting story concerning, you know, one of these things that I am very, very, I take very, very personal. I do it every month, and I'm one of those to believe that there's going to be a time when I climb that Mount Everest and be one of those winners that I see the next month on the first. Like, yes, Al Martin was the winner of ESPN Streak for the Cash this month. He pulls away $40,000, $20,000, whatever amount. I'll be happy just to win the thing. But you have an interesting Streak for the Cash story that you haven't told me.
Yeah, it's kind of a two-parter. So at one of my previous jobs in the sports department, a bunch of us got into a Streak for the Cash group. And, you know, it was just for fun.
Yeah.
And each month, whoever won was treated to dinner somewhere by everybody else in the group.
Nice. Whoever had the longest streak then, right?
Yep.
Gotcha.
And one month, I got up to like 7 losses in a row. And so I told the guys, I'm going to ride this thing as hard as I can. I got it up to 14 losses in a row.
14 losses in a row.
14 losses in a row.
Oh, my goodness.
That was probably, It was in the early teens. It might have been 10 or 11.
Yeah.
In April of this year, I beat that. I got up to 19 losses in a row.
Are you serious? And folks, if you haven't played it, it's tough to just constantly pick a loser just as much as it is to pick a winner. So yeah. That's admirable. You know, I must say, Mike, I must say, that's pretty admirable, brother.
It was funny because at one point, there was one day in there when I had 19 and the person who had the longest win streak had 20. Wow. And I would have been in second place, except all of mine were losses instead of wins.
That's a new twist on it, Mike, that I haven't heard before. That's funny stuff. Are you playing right now, and where is your streak right now?
Yeah, I'm at L4. I did one of the soccer matches. I don't follow.
Me neither.
Premier League, I know a little bit about. Anything else, no. And it was one of those, anything else, no. And I lost, and I was like, bother.
There you have that. I mean, I tell you what, it's a ride of emotions playing ESPN Street for Cash.
It really is. You get invested in this.
You definitely do. I tell you, my little heart has been crushed many times. But, hey, Mike Cohan, MLive.com, high school sports reporter. Mike, thanks a lot, my man.
Yeah, thanks, Al. Appreciate it.
All right, let's get our second break. When we come back, we'll dive into and give you our final predictions on the Michigan and Michigan State game. We'll also give a game breakdown concerning the Lions and Falcons, and it's Reflection Friday. We'll reflect on the week that was here on Current Sports. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, we'll be taking your calls up until 2 o'clock. We have about 15 minutes left in the show. The number to call is 517-355-9527. We just finished talking with Mike Cohan, MLive.com, high school sports reporter, giving us a preview of all of the high school football action that will be taking place tonight. It is the final Friday night for the high school sports football regular season. I can't believe week 9 is already here, folks. It seems as though time is just flying on by. But we want to give a special thanks to Mike for joining us to break down that. But, of course, you know, one of the bigger stories here in the area happens to be Michigan and Michigan State football. Yes, the Spartans and Wolverines will be hitting the gridiron tomorrow at 3:30 at Spartan Stadium. It's the game that everyone seems to be talking about, and we are here to break it down. Alex Sharg, the man behind the glass, now joins me. Alex, my man, how you doing?
Doing well, Al. I mean, I got to ask on your end, you've been around campus. Have you seen any more vandalism?
Have you
seen the rivalry start to get on? Or
other than my Instagram page, where I have a lot of friends that go to U of M and them kind of talking a little bit of trash and saying, yeah, we're going to come into Michigan State's house and blow them out. Other than that, around campus, no. I mean, they've done a very good job of guarding Sparty. I actually drove by Sparty yesterday on my way to work, and they have a 24-hour around-the-clock guarding system of the Spartan statue.
Good job. Good job by them. They need that.
They're doing a good job.
It's funny, Troy Jefferson, one of our interns, or one of our assistants was just here.
Yeah.
And he showed me a video of the Michigan Daily newspaper, the University of Michigan student newspaper. Every year they play the state newspaper in flag football, touch football.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they put a video out of them breaking down, you know, their usual sports. They break down the Michigan hockey game.
Yeah.
They break down the football game. Their last segment, there are three guys, and they're breaking down the game against the state news in touch football. They're analyzing how they're going to play against state news in the game as journalists.
Really?
I just thought that was hysterical.
That
man.
Is
the
pretty
rivalry
funny stuff.
Is really on.
Oh, it's definitely really on. It's one of those rivalries that's fun. You know, it's an in-state rivalry. You know, you can talk a lot of trash, and you know, it's just a fun thing. I love talking trash back and forth and bantering with my homies who go to U of M. So yeah, I love it. But yeah, it'll be coming to, you know, finally head-to-head matchup tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. Just to give a game breakdown of that one, man. I kind of agree with Mike on this one, Alex. I think this one, seeing as though this is a rivalry matchup. Michigan versus Michigan State. It's going to be a lot of emotions riding on this one. So I do think in the end, Michigan State is going to blow out Michigan. It won't even be close. But I do think in the beginning of the game, They're going to be a little jitters. You know, it's going to be, you know, each team kind of sort of feeling each other out. I think it could be close in that first half, even going into halftime, I think. But in the end, just to be honest, looking at, you know, just the makeup of both of these teams, Michigan State is clearly the better football team here. Michigan has gone through just sort of a roller coaster ride this entire season. They finally get a win prior to the bye week of last week. They get a win over Penn State to get them feeling good so they don't have to mope for 2 weeks before playing the rival Michigan State. But, you know, ideally, when looking at Michigan State's defense versus Michigan's offense, I mean, my goodness, Michigan has to score, you know, they have to score if they want to have any chance of winning this game. Now, Michigan, if you looked at this, Alex, Michigan, they have scored, you know, they haven't scored, excuse me, more than 18 points in most of their games. I mean, it's unbelievable. Gardner is going to be under a lot of pressure on Saturday, I believe. He's going to be under fire. If you look at it, Michigan State is ranked fourth in the nation in sacks. They love to get at the quarterback, and many people are still having flashbacks and still licking the wounds, if you will, from last year's just, oh my goodness, negative 48 rush yards. I mean, that's unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. Just total domination. I don't think it'll be a dominant performance to that degree, but still dominant nonetheless.
Al, I don't know. Can you leave that out, that it won't be – it will be that close at halftime? Because look at the last two games.
I think so it will.
Look versus Nebraska.
Exactly.
But look versus Indiana.
Right.
You don't think Michigan State's learned by now to not get the game so close early on and make sure that they pull away early on? I think they've learned from that.
I just think the fact that this is a rivalry game, a lot of emotions are going on. I wouldn't be surprised if this one was a close one in that first half. We actually have a caller online one. Tyler Beck, how you doing, Ty?
Hey, Al, I'm doing okay. How are you, man?
I'm doing blessed, man. Can't complain.
Hey, so you mentioned the Daily and State News football game earlier.
Yeah, Alex did. Yep.
I'm actually going to be playing in that in a couple hours.
Nice. So you're getting ready. You got your you're getting your eye black ready and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. We're gonna have to be there at like 4:30 for practice and our like last walkthrough. It seriously. Like we've been practicing for the last couple months.
The past couple months, you guys have plays drawn up and everything, then, huh?
Yeah, man. It's the real deal.
Wow, that's pretty fun. So how's the trash talking been like leading up to this one?
If you go on Twitter and search the hashtag beat the daily or beat the state news, there's some pretty nasty stuff on there.
Oh, boy. Approach with caution, folks. Approach with caution, Twitterverse. But, Ty, you know, looking at this game, though, first off, what do you think is going to happen tomorrow?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of biased, you know.
I know you are, because you definitely are with the state news.
Yeah, you're asking about the Daily and State News game or the Michigan-Michigan
State? Well, the Michigan and Michigan State game.
I think Michigan State's going to come in. And, you know, with Mark D'Antoni, it's so hard to see Michigan State not get up for this game, regardless of what the records are. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to take Michigan seriously, and I think that's what you got to worry about when it's, you know, a team that's going to be as overmatched as Michigan is. And I think they're just going to blow them out. It's going to be ugly.
There you go. I think the same, Ty. Hey, Ty, you know, be safe out there, my man. I don't want you to limp in on Monday with some injury or something, bro. Be safe, all right?
No, I got to be in a wedding tomorrow, so I got to watch out for myself.
Good stuff. There you go. Tyler Beck, thanks a lot, Ty.
Thanks, Al.
All right, we have another caller on line two. Apache is here to weigh in. How you doing, Apache? Welcome to Current Sports.
I'm doing okay, man. I can't wait to see this walk in the park, according to you. I've been hoping, man, that we win this game so I could give you a little hard time.
Right, right.
It looks like you guys are going to do it again. I have to believe that, and I've said it before, that Brady Hoke is learning how to coach from D'Antonio. I think the biggest difference is the physical aspect, the nastiness that the Spartans have, mm-hmm. that he doesn't seem to coach or emphasize with his players. And he and I really believe that D'Antoni is teaching them how to coach in the Big Ten. And hopefully they have awakened and have some elements of being physical and nasty and just let it go, man. The other thing is Devin Gardner, man, they got to let him play instinctively rather than too much thinking. But you know what? Don't worry about the interceptions. Don't worry about the turnovers. The only chance they got if he can break into the secondary a couple times. Because, you know, that onslaught, that rush, that blitz is going to be on.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And if they get him early, they're gonna wreck his psyche. So they got to let him just play instinctively and hope that that he gets a couple long runs, gets his confidence up, and makes the defense back off a little bit. Right. Other than that, man, if you beat us, I hope you go all the way. but I sure like to beat you guys tomorrow.
So, well, I got to say about you, though, if to give credit where credit is due here, I will say that Michigan's defense, you know, did look better against Penn State. I will say that. And if you look at it, I mean, you know, Michigan is only giving up. They're not giving up much on the ground. They're actually ranked 7th in the nation as far as defensive run defense efficiency is concerned. So, hey, I will say that. So, you know, Nick Hill and Jeremy Langford, hey, they got to bring it tomorrow.
Yeah, but you know what? You got a receiver that's going to open that middle up because of his ability to catch, man. Lippitt, is his name Lippitt?
Yeah, Tony Lippitt.
Oh, he's scary, dude.
He is.
I mean, he's beautiful. I don't think you can concentrate on receivers that much or concentrate on the running game that much. You really got to give him some attention. So I think that's going to open up your running game because you got a very good running back, a couple of them, actually. So it's going to be interesting. I don't see Michigan winning. I sure hope they do. It could happen. I just hope they graduate mentally, man, emotionally. And I think the element of fear may be overcome on the part of Michigan with just being disgusted and angry.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And desperate, man. And to play like wounded animals where they got nothing to lose.
Yeah, they got to want it. They got to want it. So, Apache, give me a score prediction before you get off the air.
Oh, brother, I can't do it, man.
I'm putting you on the spot, I know.
Yeah. I don't drink Kool-Aid, man.
There you have it.
I don't want to do that, man. It ain't going to hurt as much this year as last year. I mean,
right.
I stopped watching the game in the third quarter, man. It was painful.
Right.
And when I saw you guys play Oregon for three quarters, I said, oh, no, not again.
Yeah, exactly.
That team looks good, man. And I think you are going to be up the whole game. And I think D'Antonio knows, you know, we're on our way to that Final Four. So let's take care of business. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it, man. I can't give you a score, bro.
All right. I'll let you off the hook.
I'm going to go with blue. You know what I'm saying? Just win. You guys
gotcha.
Have a good weekend.
All right. You do the same. Thanks a lot, Apache. Gotta love that. All right. Well, Alex, do you want to give me a score prediction? I think you already have. I think at the beginning of the week you did. But if you want to reiterate it.
I kind of, it's a long time ago. I think we made our predictions on like Monday.
Mine was 31-17. That was mine.
Yeah. I think I said
Michigan State.
I think I said 35.
It was around. It was close.
Yeah.
It was really close.
We were close scores.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, it's going to be a fun one, folks. Again, you know, be safe. You know, for those out there going out to the game. And you know, it's funny. I had a moment on my TV show last night with Ronald Mann. And Ronald talked about how as an MMA fighter, you know, you're out there battling, you know, trying to choke each other out. And, you know, Ronald had, you know, during his most recent fight, had a chokeout win where his opponent was just kind of just, you know, laying limply on the ground. He won by a TKO. But afterwards, fighters always have this tradition of embracing one another. No matter what happens, whoever wins by knockout or by decision, they give each other a hug, dap it up and say, hey, good game, brother. Let's bring that to the forefront with this rivalry. It can get nasty at times. A lot of trash talking and he say, she say type of stuff throughout this whole week. But whoever wins, no matter what, let's do it with love. All right, folks? We don't want to be on the 10 o'clock news that night, okay? Let's be smart, folks. Have fun and be safe. And for all those going out to Midnight Madness, too, that should be a fun time out at the Breslin Center tonight. Doors open at 8:30 p.m. I can't believe basketball is right around the corner. I want to give a special shout-out to Mike Cohine of MLive.com. Thanks a lot to Walt Drenth, who is the director of the MSU women's cross-country team, for joining me. And also, how about Claude Donahue? That's a diehard fan if I've ever seen one. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin on WKR AM 870 East Lansing. Always take care, have a good one, and be easy, people.